This podcast is presented to you by Pastor Bill Shear and Guts Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. For more information, please visit gutschurch.com.
Isn't it great to be Christians? Huh? Man, I'll tell you, the response that I've had from this series this month, and it's just entitled Defeat Fear, has been, I don't know, it's been remarkable. It's been over, I can't remember a series. Can you, Sandy, that has had, maybe the family series, because you spoke, but in September. But it's 2 months of great response from series, don't you think? I mean, it's just been, well, thank you for being so congenial. She said, I do. Like, please move on. Okay. But it has been pretty remarkable. And for me, it boils down to this. If you want to defeat fear in your life, you can't negotiate. We don't negotiate. We're inheritors of the kingdom. And we've got to be those people that, man, I'm not going to negotiate. I'm not going to allow the enemy to have any play in my life, our circumstances, our situations. Will you guys join me in welcoming Skytook and everybody watching online today? Man, we love people in our church in Skytook. So the series is Defeat Fear. Really, the title of this message is Be Strong and Courageous. It's actually, I get a better title, Don't Negotiate. No negotiation here, okay? And if you got a Bible, in 1 John, the 4th chapter and the 18th verse, I'm going to read this quickly, and then we're going to go to Luke 12. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. I'm going to pause here for 1 second. There's two statements here. There's no fear in love, okay? So if you really, truly want to defeat fear in your life, you got to find this love. All right? You can't know about God. You can't know of God. You can't have a little bit, like once in a while I can navigate it or I can work it. No, you've got to know him and the power of his might. Man, his resurrection. Man, you've got to know God, who he is. So there's no fear in love. And then the second phrase is perfect love casts out fear. It doesn't say perfect love can negotiate with fear. Perfect love will deal with fear. Or perfect love, it says it casts out fear. It's aggressive. It's violent. You know, I don't know about you guys, but I've been cast out of a few places. I mean, you guys, there's bouncers places that if you go and you act up or you don't belong, they cast you out. They throw you out in the ditch. And that's what perfect love does with fear in our lives. Perfect love casts out fear. And then it goes on and it says, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love, because fear involves torment. And see, and that's the bottom line, the torment that people live in that don't know how to counter fear in their lives. God, thank you for your word today. God, it's life to us and it's health to all of our flesh in Jesus' name. And everybody said? Amen. Okay, Luke 12, verse 29, Jesus saying, and don't seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. It's interesting in the Greek that the Greek word for anxious mind here is where we get the word meteor. And it's almost spelled the same. And it's funny if you think about it, a meteor, that it's just sailing through the universe. A meteor is just something that has broken off. It's a particle or a piece of something that is broken free and is just sailing through the universe. Well, that's what this is. Don't have an anxious mind. The Bible talks about with being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. That there's winds of doctrine. Do you understand that if you've placed anything or inserted anything in your doctrine that you can't back up in God's word 2 or 3 times, it shouldn't be in your doctrine? You know that? That there's things that we're raised with, there's conceptions or perceptions that we have that we add it to our doctrine, and we make it a part of our doctrine, and it doesn't make any sense. And see, and the Bible talks about that being a wind of doctrine. Now, wind, we might go outside. I think the wind's out of the south today. We might go outside and say, oh my gosh, the wind is coming out of the south. We know the direction it's going. Okay, let me ask you this. Where's the basis of that wind? Where's the foundation? Where did that wind come from? I don't know. And see, we don't know where that wind comes from, yet we know what direction it is so that we think we're experts. Wait a second. Man, a wind of doctrine is a teaching with no basis. And so you have to have that basis in the Bible, that basis in God's word. There's three things, really, honestly. If you want to live, man, the life of God in Christ starts with three easy little steps. Number one, you read the word every day. I mean, you get in the word, you read the Bible every day, you just make yourself. Make that a part of your ritual. Just read the Bible every day. Just begin to wade into it, okay? Number two, prayerfully study God's word. Maybe get with somebody that's had an active life of faith and knows God's word for a period of time and has the fruit and the seasoning in their life that you could tell that they've really been students of the word. Man, so you read the word every day, you prayerfully study God's word. Number three, you have to have an I get it attitude. You gotta say, look, I get it. You can't walk around going, well, I don't understand it when I read it. Yeah, you know why? It's unfruitful to your intellect. See, there are two different planes. There's a natural plane, a base plane, and then there's a spiritual plane. And you know what? Those two never meet. The Bible is written on a spiritual plane. So if you get this base plane of your life and you're thinking, well, I don't, it's not rational. You're right, because it requires trust. It requires you believing in a man you've never seen, you've never shook hands with, you've never met. But you know him. Man, you understand him. You get him because his word is alive and powerful. Man, there's life in God's word. You should write that down. Your life is in God's word. If you're in God's word, man, you're importing that life into who you are. And that life begins to take over. Man, there's life in his word. And we've got to understand that. Man, we've got to be a part of that. We can't have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows, and this is a parallel verse from Matthew 6, 30 through 33. For all these things the nations seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things, but seek the kingdom of God, and these things will be added to you. Don't fear, little flock, for it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Think about this. If that one statement right there became alive to you, if that one statement in there became revelation in your life, became so real to you that you're putting your belief, you're stacking your belief on that foundation, that it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He's not holding back. The Bible says he'll withhold no good thing from those who just put him first. See, that's why the Bible said right here, Luke says, look, seek first the kingdom of God. What Matthew said is seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all the things the Gentiles are seeking will be added unto you. You're not going to live without. God's not going to leave you stranded ever. See, we're not paupers. We're sons. We've been engrafted in. We have received a spirit of adoption, whereas we cry, Abba, Father. Why? We know God's heart. We know God's passion. We know who God is. Man, there's a whole new culture about our lives now. And you know what it has to turn into? It has to turn into a brand new mindset. See, you might have a mindset right now that you start getting some symptoms in your health. Some symptoms come in and you're like, oh my gosh, because we know so much about this now. Oh my gosh, there's a thing called WebMD. You can get a diagnosis on the internet. It's like, what are we doing? And you know what? You look at this and I'm not wading in one side or the other. All right? But I am telling you this, man, when you get those symptoms hit your body, now's when you've got to choose fear or faith. And I'm telling you, both of them have the same kind of immersing effects. See, the immersing effect of fear on top of your symptoms creates torment and death. It drowns you and paralyzes you. But faith, man, you put faith on those symptoms. Now, you know what? The immersion of that of your symptoms in faith lifts your circumstances now. You know why? It takes it out of that natural plane and puts it in that spiritual plane. And guess what? The altitude of that spiritual plane, the elevation of that spiritual plane, those symptoms can't live on it. Those symptoms can't thrive in that. Man, greater is he who's in us than he who's in the world. Why? We are elevated. We are above. We're seated in heavenly places. Far above. Listen, far above principalities and powers and rulers of darkness in heavenly places. Man, far above. You've got to know who you are and know the God who loves you. And yet, man, the God who will take care of your every single step, the every need of your life. Man, you could go into life now with a new mindset that all my needs met according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You know why? It is repeated throughout God's word time and time again. Man, think about this. Man, think about how powerful this new mindset that not that you're never going to have fear. Fear is very natural. You're in this world, but you're not of it. Man, if fear lingers for more than 3 to 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 seconds, 15 seconds, man, you allow yourself to be in fear for 15 or 20, for 30 seconds, it's torment. You get paralyzed. But see, if the natural reaction of your life becomes a supernatural reaction to God's promise that's been engrafted in your heart, now fear takes on a whole new posture. Man, fear doesn't come in swinging from its heels anymore. Man, fear, man, the devil's got to be cunning now. He's got to try to deceive you. He's got to try to trip you up a little bit. Man, if you just start with, I'm not just going to wade into fear anymore. What I'm going to do is I'm going to check. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to check with God's promise. I'm going to check with the foundation that's been laid in my life. Does this match the heart of God? Does this match who God is? Because if it doesn't, let me just tell you. I'm telling you, you reject it like you would any kind of parcel that you didn't order. Man, you got to make sure it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Turn your Bible to Joshua 1. And this is going to be the meat of this. This is going to change your life if you have ears to hear. And in order to have ears to hear, A, you got to pay attention. B, you have to have that mindset, what? I get it. All we're doing now is getting in the Word. And we're waiting in a little bit of prayerfully studying God's Word together. Okay, Joshua 1, verse 5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Think about that. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Now listen. Then he says this. As I was with Moses, the next thing is powerful, so I will be with you. Now think about that. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Oh my gosh, game changer. I am ready for whatever. I'm down for whatever. I'm ready to take on all comers. Why? As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. God promises I will be with you. God promises I will not leave nor forsake you. Verse 6, be strong and of good courage. And I'm telling you, that's what the devil wants to do. What sin is aimed to do in your life is to make you a coward. I want to talk to the men here. I'll tell you, the church is full of cowards. The body of Christ has a lot of guys that it's like, you know what? We just have to be men, men of valor, men of dignity, men with backbone, men that can stand no matter what. Not have to explain ourselves, not have to give excuses anymore. Man, what if you're on time? What if there's no excuses, no explanations? What if you're alert in your life? Man, you know what kind of family you have? You know what kind of marriage you have? But see, we've got to be those people no matter what happens. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Don't turn from it from the right hand or the left that you may prosper wherever you go. Now see, now think about this. Now I understand, wait a second, the mission of my life. See, I know the purpose on my life. I really do. I know the purpose on Pastor Sandy's life. I know the purpose that's on my life. The purpose of my life is to help people fulfill their purpose. Hence, help people win. See, in order for you now to wake up, the reason you're here, the reason I have this mic, the reason these words are important is because there is purpose in your life. There really is. There's a God-given purpose in your life that nobody on this earth carries. It's like your fingerprints. It's like your DNA. It sets you apart. Man, to fulfill God's purpose. Now listen, here's what he said to Joshua. He said, the purpose of all of this is so that you take these people and you divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. To rightly divide the truth so that it comes out, it parcels out like land. It parcels out as God's promise. I'm here to tell you right now that you can live your life prosperous. You can live your life successful. You can live your life healthy. You can live your life full of joy. You can live your life, man, being so forgiving and so merciful that I'm telling you, people are going to want to flock to do business with you. They're going to want to flock to live around you. They're going to want to flock to go to the church that you go to. Because that's God's promise, because there's a purpose in your life. But you know what you've got to do? You've got to decide that this isn't like land that we cut out in acreage like the world does. Man, no, this is land that here's how God divides up the land. Are you guys ready? This is how God divides up the land that he's promised us. Like this, watch. You guys watching? You know what I did right there? I took a step. You know what that step did? That step put my foot on the ground. What my foot on the ground does, it says, everywhere the sole of your foot lands, you possess it. See, that's the deal. It's not just about dirt. It's about a mindset. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. It's a mindset. Everywhere your foot lands, you possess it. And you'll say, well, I don't have the deed for it. No, you know what? We are not in this world. We are in this world. We are not of this world. Man, everywhere your foot lands, you possess. Now, what happens? See, what happens to us is that we'll never be dismayed. Man, we don't have to walk in fear. You know what that is? It's that I need my glasses. It's like, oh my gosh, these glasses are important to me, but they're just outside of my reach. I can see them right there. I just can't reach them. How do I get to these glasses? It's incredible. Man, what do I have to do? Man, I would do anything to get to these glasses. Man, just tell me what I need to do. Help me what I need to do. You'd say, hey, how about just take one step? If I take a step, oh my gosh, they're within reach. I get them. What did that step do? It caused me to possess the promise that God's given me. It's all a step of faith. It's no leap that you're going to have to make. God's not requiring. See, let me just explain to you. This life is Christianity is a life for life exchange. I say, God, I give you my life. He doesn't leave me lifeless. He gives me his life. Okay? I say, Sandy, I give you my life. She doesn't say, okay, thank you very much. I'll see you later. No, she gives me her life. That's why the Bible says so much so that as married people, her body is mine and my body is hers. See, so now you look at this like, wait a second, what did we just do? There's been an exchange. What's that exchange? It's not a transaction. It's an exchange. It's a life for life exchange. See, so what we have to do now is exchange our old mindset. We have to take on a new mindset. The promise of vision help, how do I get it? I just have to take a step. That's all I have to do. And you know what? If I'm not quite there, then I take another step. And then you get there. And see, that's how this works. See, the reason fear takes over is because we get paralyzed in it and we can't take that step. Man, what happens? You get that diagnosis? You have two options. You can take a step toward fear, or you can take a step toward faith, toward trust. See, God's on the trust side. The enemy's on the fear side. You take a step toward fear, you're cooked. And I don't care if it's financial. I don't care if it's your marriage. I don't care if it's your health. Whatever it is, you keep stepping toward fear, all you're doing is giving away ground, just giving up ground. And you know something? If you're given that ground, that means your enemy's taking that ground. Well, it's time for you to start taking his ground. It's time for you to start taking the ground that's been leased to him. And you know what? How you do that? It's always a step of faith that you may prosper wherever you go. Be strong and courageous. Our mission is to help people live God's promise. I'm telling you, that's it. If you could start over, and I believe you can. God gives us fresh starts, new beginnings. But if you could start over and say, okay, and it's not a do-over, it's a start over, okay? And you do that start over and you think, okay, my purpose in life is to bring as many people with me as I can. It's not necessarily what you do. You hear me? See, and I think we fixate on that. I think we fixate on this call of God and the purpose of God is in the what. I don't think the what matters to God. I think what matters to God is that you make a play. That's all it is. See, because here's how this works. that God sent his son Jesus. Now his play comes into motion. Jesus lived on the earth. After 33 years, he was crucified on the cross. Now everything changes. Everything starts over. They put him in that grave. He went to hell. He defeated death in the grave. He walked out of that tomb. Okay, now this life for life exchange switched over to your play now. That was God's play. God's play was to eliminate the barrier between him and people. So now Jesus walked out of that tomb. So God made his move. Now it's your move. The hard part's over. God did that part. So your part now is make a play. But that play can't just be about you. That play just can't fulfill this wanderlust of what ministry or life could be with this faith message that we have. It's about others. It's always about others. Man, as much ministry as I can give away, as Sandy can give away, as Scott can give away, the more people that we can include, man, that's when God begins to back our play. It's not about my ministry or your ministry. It's about the house. See, and that's what God cares about. God cares about sons and daughters in the house now. Man, you think we're coming up on second generation ministry in this church after 22 years. Man, there's guys now that have been around. There's people that have been on staff. And man, you ask people, Jeremy, how long you been here? AJ, how long you been here? Glenn, how long you been here? Then Jason, how long you been here? And see, we look at this, and now it's second generation ministry. They're not starting from that no money and six people place anymore. Man, they're starting with a very little bit of mortgage right now on this property and the flywheel turning in ministry and in outreach. Man, you think about what God could do in your life now. Man, the repercussive impact becomes so grand and so amazing. But you know what? God will prosper you as you take those steps of faith. That's how it works. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. Notice, and this is big, it's a two-letter word, but it's not meditate on it, it's meditate in it. There's a big difference between meditating on it. Man, I know about Jesus. I know of Jesus. I know Jesus. And you know what? People that know about him, you know what they could say? How can you know him? You've never met him. No, I know Jesus better than I know anybody. Do you understand that? See, because I don't just think about him. Man, I don't just meditate on it. I meditate in God's word, in God's promise, that you may observe to do all that is written in it, that for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. See, now it's not God's play of making you prosperous. It's not God's play of you having good success. It's your play. See, you meditate in it, then you'll make your way prosperous, and you'll have good. It doesn't matter what you do. Man, whatever you do, I'm telling you, man, the why is Jesus, to reach people. The what doesn't matter. The who is what matters. The where is what matters. Man, you get in the right place with the right people, I'm telling you, your life will be amazing. That's why being at church is so huge. Why? You're with the right people. You're in the right place. Well, it's not about the place. You're absolutely wrong if you think that. I've been in the wrong place in my life. Anybody in here been in the wrong place in your life? It's about the place. You go, well, it's not that big a deal. The place isn't that big a deal. Really? I have had to run down alleys for a couple miles because I was in the wrong place. There's ugly people there. And I get a big mouth. Okay. Have I not commanded you? Listen to verse 9. Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Wow. Man, I'm dismayed from here. From right here, I'm dismayed about those glasses. From right here, these are handy. That's all God wants. Step toward him. Man, you want to defeat fear, you step away from that fear and step toward trust in God. Has God given you the promise you need to get over the situation you're in? The answer is emphatically yes. The answer is amen. Man, that's what the Bible says. That's what we put our trust in. Man, that's what is the anchor of our soul, so we're not just getting tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. It's God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So you know what? You can live fearlessly. You know what's interesting? I don't know why I feel like I need to be careful to say this. It's not about the victory so much, because we all experience the victory. Like in this room, I don't know how many people are here, there's a lot, but if I'd say, how many of you guys have experienced victory in Jesus? I think everyone would raise their hand. Let's just try it. How many of you guys have experienced in your life victory in Jesus? Can I see your hands? And it's everybody. What if I said, how many of you guys have experienced, listen, fearlessness in life, where you can live? How many of you guys have experienced living fearlessly? Oh my gosh, it's a foreign concept. I can get to the victory, but I'm worn out when I get there because I've got to get through all the fear first. What if you didn't? What if truly that fear was an issue in your life for 2 or 3 seconds at a time? And you'll think, oh, that's crazy. Really? I'll tell you what science says. The average temptation in a man or woman's life lasts between, are you ready for this? 3 to 8 seconds. So you know what? My life, when I come and say, oh, dear God, I fell prey to temptation. Really? You couldn't grit your teeth for 8 seconds? Huh? You couldn't make it through that 3 or 4 seconds? Are you? But that's how powerful that is. See, we are powerless without Jesus, without the name of Jesus, without that name that's above every name, that at that name every knee bows, every tongue confesses, that at that name it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. His way of doing things. I could do things Scott's way, I could do things Josh's way, I could do things Carrie's way, or I could do things God's way. Man, hopefully you're never going to get out of any ministry in this church is direction. Where we're not going to come to you and say, hey, go buy that house, or hey, marry that girl, or hey, take that job. No, you know what? The Bible doesn't say that there is direction in a multitude of counsel. And I'm telling you, godly counsel is imperative in your life. If you don't have godly counsel, get some. And you get it in church. It can't be like dial-a-pastor. There's no drive-through you're going to go through and say, hey, how about a little counsel here? But you know what? But there's no direction, but there's safety. And that's a key. There's safety in a multitude of counsel. And there have been times my kids have come and said, hey, Dad, what do you think of this? And it's like, man, a lot of times it's just like a rubber stamp. It's like, yes, man, we've raised you right. Go make a great decision. You're doing a great job. But then there's those times where it's like, no. What do you mean? I can't find my peace. You know, the girls would usually say, no, Dad, I get it. I trust you. Taylor, he'll say, what? Say, yeah, I can't find my peace. I don't have a peace about that. Well, explain that to me. Okay, here, let me try to explain it a little better for you. I can't find my peace. When I do, I'll tell you. You know, what does that mean? Do you have a check about it? I didn't say I had a check about it. I said I can't find my peace. See, what's happening is there's a curve coming up. Man, if you got a peace about it, you can navigate that curve at whatever speed. But you know what? If it's a right-hand turn, you want to tap those brakes. If it's a hairpin turn, you may want to stop and navigate it that way. See, and that's all life is. You're in the position that you're in life because of how you've navigated the turns, the curves. Life will throw you curves. Well, you know what? How you navigate those curves, your front end's got to be aligned. Your tires have to be the right pressure. Man, you've got to trust your vehicle. Well, our vehicle is God's word. Man, he's given us his word to take us places there's nowhere we can go without it. But you know what you've got to do? You got to follow after that peace, that still small voice that leads and guides you in all truth. You know, to the point where you're like, I'm not sure what to do. If you let that be the pervasive thought, you won't know what to do. But if you get that thought, the temptation is that you don't know. The temptation is, oh my gosh, I'm getting confused about this. And you stop and you go to God's word. And what does it say? I'm his sheep. I hear his voice and another voice I won't follow. God, I thank you that I hear your voice clearly and definitively with distinction. And God, I thank you for that in Jesus' name. And you put your trust in that. And all that is just tapping the brake a little bit. I'm just tapping the brake just a little bit. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to find the heart of God in this. I'm going to find my peace, and I'm going to win in Jesus' name. And that's fearlessly. You got it? God, thank you for your word today. God, I thank you for this service. God, thank you for everything you're doing in our lives. God, I thank you, your hands on every life in this room in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you for a move of your spirit about every household here. God, I thank you today that you deliver us of financial debt and the overburden of that debt in the name of Jesus. God, forgive us of not being led by your spirit, but God, we repent today, and God, we choose today to live moderately the way you've called us to live so we're able to give to every good work.
Thanks for listening to the Guts Church Podcast. For more information on service times, please visit gutschurch.com.